I've been trying to analyze Apple and their recent moves, as with everyone else, we're trying to get a feel of their motives. Recently, Apple just enabled end-to-end encryption for iCloud on iOS 16, which you can now use. Last year, they announced the neural hash for finding CSAM. They also implemented the iCloud private relay and basically some limitations on advertising IDs that likely cost Facebook a lot of advertising business. Then there's the Apple Mesh Network, which we all just associate with the AirTag. The earliest technology that is part of all this is the Neural Engine, which was released 5 years ago. For some, these moves seem disparate and disjointed, or to some, they all sound pretty good. Seems consistent with the privacy is iPhone mantra. But I finally linked the moves into a strategy that is shockingly well thought out. It had to be many years in the making. It is clear now that the intent was to satisfy the security requirements of the surveillance state. And they accomplished that. Under your nose, Apple now has a backdoor. If you want to understand this, stay right there. A little bit of history is required to understand what I'm going to explain. Back in 2015, there was a dispute between the FBI and Apple. The FBI wanted Apple to break into the phone of the San Bernardino terrorist shooter, Farouk, so they could examine its contents. This was a big deal with Apple, and they refused to help the FBI break into the phone, which was protected by a 4-digit PIN code. If the FBI tried to break into it, after 10 attempts, the data would be erased. An external examination of the device storage would reveal an encrypted flash drive, and the passcode was controlled by the secure enclave chip on the phone itself. This was important to Apple because in order to sell phones, they had to state that there is. Now, as an aside, the phone, of course, is backed up to iCloud. And in the course of this dispute between the FBI and Apple, no one ever mentions that Apple obviously has access to the iCloud content since Apple has the security key. Also not mentioned is that Apple routinely responds to requests by law enforcement and can access other information that's not on the phone, such as locations and iCloud contents. There's more to this, though. If you follow the comments by various three-letter agencies in the press, as well as the comments by the 5i countries, you will see that they are distressed by the popularity of end-to-end encrypted apps. For example, apps like Signal. They were extremely concerned because their ability to surveil the population was being shut down. So various government officials and politicians were quick to state that encryption should be banned. But cybersecurity experts quickly spoke out that banning encryption would pretty much stop e-commerce and financial transactions. Then government officials demanded a backdoor. States like France even passed laws demanding backdoors to all encrypted apps in the App Store. I remember having to respond to that by pulling my app out of France. This was a long time ago, 2014 maybe. Australia was also quick to make nonsense laws banning encryption, but I'd like to see them implement that without destroying the Australian economy. As you follow the discussions about encryption, the solution posed by three-letter agencies is that we can solve the encryption problem by surveilling content before it gets encrypted. Think about this clearly as this became the new goal. However, looking at pre-encrypted content before encryption requires a backdoor of some sort or some sort of remote access Trojan or RAT. So no iPhone maker will accept this kind of backdoor since it will be bad press and extremely bad for the phone business. Apple and Google want to build trust in the phones in all possible ways. Now, before we continue this analytical journey, let's examine a new development that was happening while this debate on encryption was going on. This new development was artificial intelligence, or AI. And the specific technology that I will focus on is the neural network and specifically as it relates to object recognition. I did a video on how the computer can see, and that is done using a neural network technology. Lately, you can see this heavily used on self-driving cars like a Tesla. It is also a major element to content moderation here on YouTube. Every frame of the video is examined, and if content is found that is against the terms of service, then the video is flagged and demonetized, or the creator's account suspended or terminated. Just to explain this technology a bit more, an image passed to a neural net specifically made to recognize objects can identify features of the photo. Each individual object can be enumerated, and characteristics of that object can be observed. The detail of this is extraordinary. If I have a can of soda in my video, YouTube would be able to specify that I have Coke or a Sprite. If I have any object that resembles a weapon, it would be recognized. The object recognition can spot individual faces and bodies and can classify faces by age, emotional state, and if the person is appropriately dressed. It can spot the environment and even predict a general location just based on the general design and appearance of the environment. Each person can also be facially recognized. And of course, that kind of AI was extremely heavily used by Facebook for tagging people in photos. So the neural network technology for image recognition has been around for several years, but it is a high processing load on computers to analyze each media, especially if images have to be sent through the internet. What you will observe lately is that the new phone models from Apple and Google feature this neural network chip. 5 years ago, Apple included the neural engine in the new iPhone model at the time. If I recall right, this was first added to the iPhone X. It was also the time when the neural engine was used to do Face ID on the phone. The key here that was unique was that the image recognition was done locally on the device. The Face ID or whatever biometric is used is evaluated locally by the neural engine, so there's no data being passed over the internet. This ensures in theory that the Face ID is safe. It was around this time too that Apple also announced they were scanning your photos using facial recognition to identify your friends and contacts in your photos. At the time though, this was supposed to be done over iCloud. In any case, if you have a new iPhone, you will likely see the little squares on each face as you're taking a photo, even of a large group. No, I don't think this is autofocus. I think this is image recognition by the neural engine. Around the same time as the release of the neural engine, which was one of the first technologies in this backdoor topic I'm discussing, Tim Cook started pushing this new concept of privacy is iPhone. Obviously, this marketing push is not random. Only in hindsight can we draw the connections between the technological changes in this marketing push. This was, as I said earlier, well thought out. Apple had a technology plan that could have been triggered as early as 2015 or even before the San Bernardino shooting. But I'm guessing that's when the pushback from the intelligence community occurred. If you examine the list of features today, you can see they are made to push forward the idea of privacy as iPhone. Initially, we thought this was just about distinguishing Apple products from Google, but now I think there was more to this. So again, to remind you of the technology changes through today, we have Neural Engine to do Face ID locally on iOS 13, iCloud Private Relay, which was added on iOS 15, Hide My Email on iOS 15, Neural Engine to do some voice recognition locally on iOS 15, allow users to more easily block the advertising ID on iOS 15, iCloud end-to-end encryption in iOS 16. Now, in addition to this, there have been some privacy-invading features which they had to blunt. The first is the feature called client-side scanning. Some other terms that were used to describe this was neural hash to discover CSAM content, or basically client-side scanning to look for illegal photos. Then the other one is the Apple Mesh Network, which is used to operate the Apple AirTag. This has been promoted as having encrypted traffic from AirTags. These two technologies are key to my argument, and we'll come back to this. But to close out this point, they knew that not only was Apple going to release features that were going to be pro-privacy, some of these features were anti-privacy. So you can see that the advanced promotion of privacy's iPhone was a planned response. They knew they had to announce things in order so that the marketing department could make sure that the privacy mantra is maintained. As it turns out, some cybersecurity researchers have discovered the code for client-side scanning and verified its existence in earlier iOS versions before iOS 15, but they did not announce their intent to do Neural Hash and CSAM until last year. In hindsight, we already know the backlash of the Neural Hash and CSAM issue, or the general label of client-side scanning. Many people, especially me, have stated this as a new level of privacy invasion. Apple then announced a suspension of the implementation of using Neural Hash for CSAM. It was not an announcement of termination of this program, just a delay. And this was discussed recently in a Lewis Rossman video. Now that I've had a chance to think this through, I now understand what Apple has been up to since 2015. And I will pull together this assessment of what Apple had in mind, in my opinion. I've been developing enterprise systems and worked in an enterprise environment for a very long time as a chief software architect. And I'm privy to the thinking and planning we all had to do when creating and releasing new big products. I can also sniff the technologies and sense what can be done with them. And here, in the case of Apple, I smell a rat. And what I will describe to you will make sense, finally. You see, the neural hash for CSAM is a complete distraction. The real issue we need to ask is, why did Apple implement a utility for client-side scanning? Oh yes, they probably thought long and hard about a justification for this, and they came up with CSAM since it's for society's good. If this were closer to 9/11, I'm sure the neural hash would be sold as something related to terrorists. You see, folks, it is a distraction because you all know that prior to the announcement of end-to-end encryption for iCloud, that iCloud was always open to Apple. I've said this a million times, and Apple fanboys would be quick to tell me that I'm wrong. It is E2EE encrypted, they would say. I am not wrong, just as iMessage is not E2EE encrypted. This is all a play on words by the Apple marketing people because they know the truth of what Apple is up to. You see, the real problem was how to blunt the intelligence community demands for the long term so business can continue without being attacked constantly on encryption. The solution was a compromise. Allow a backdoor, but a backdoor with some limits. And the limits would allow Apple marketing to continue the lie about privacy is iPhone. The backdoor is client-side scanning. The tool to evade emissions is the Apple Mesh Network. Client-side scanning allows examination of content before encryption. The privacy workaround is that the scanning is done by proxy by the neural engine. By providing these tools, Apple can push for end-to-end encryption on their products to iCloud, while in reality, having the ability to scan their network traffic through iCloud Private Relay in a way that even adds to the surveillance infrastructure as ever before. They look good. The government is happy. You, the Apple user, becomes the privacy victim, except you do not know you are a victim. So let's talk about how this backdoor will work. Forget all about the arguments about the societal benefits of eliminating CSAM. That's irrelevant. The technology for doing the client-side scanning is already on the phone. Some people think it's a module called Media Analysis Daemon. Some people think it's something else. It doesn't really matter. The programming tools library, or APIs, for the neural engine to do image recognition is there now. There's no dispute about this. Now, how does it work exactly? The neural engine examines every media. Someone noticed that on a Mac, using Finder triggers this Media Analysis D module. But again, I will state that it will be there and has been there in some form. The API is built into the OS. So in theory, any number of programs can call the neural engine. You would be stupid to assume it's one app when the API is there. When the API detects some characteristics of the object, these characteristics are enumerated. For example, a photo can be said to contain a scared Asian woman in her early 20s next to an angry white man in his 30s. The woman is not fully dressed. They are in a house in California. There is a stick, a possible weapon, held by the man. Now, the AI can be more specific than this, but this is all within common capabilities of the AI learning today as implemented, for example, by YouTube. You can change the scenario in all different ways. Now, next, each of those individual characteristics will then be stored for each image as a hash. A hash is a mathematical construct that cannot be used to determine the original content. So the point of hashing is to make sure that the observations of the AI are hidden from anyone trying to examine the traffic or content of the phone. Now, there's a corresponding hash by Apple HQ to specify the desired characteristic to scan for. If Apple says, look for a scared Asian woman in her early 20s in California wearing X, then that request as a hash would be sent to all phones. Then if a match is discovered in the photos, the program on the iPhone will send a message to HQ. If there's no match, there's no need to generate any network traffic. This is a low traffic request. Next, if the iPhone has no internet, or if someone is blocking the internet with a firewall, then the phone can alternatively send a message via the Apple Mesh Network. And the message can be sent by another iPhone nearby. Pretty ingenious. But here are the takeaways here. Apple's argument could be that no person is examining the contents of your phone. And for the vast majority of you, that will be true. The neural engine is responsible for examining contents on the device itself, which is why it's called client-side scanning. Now, if a match is found and Apple is alerted, then more advanced scanning and more targeted scanning of the phone can be done, again, remotely, until law enforcement is involved. So in theory, if the device is spying on you and only passing results of the spying to Apple HQ, Apple can claim that it's pretty private. No one can see your specific pics, especially your nude pics that you don't want to disseminate on social media, like what happened to Jeff Bezos. But the full capability for the AI to examine the specifics of the images is there. You could think of the phone as boots on the ground, AI operatives doing surveillance at the behest of Apple HQ with secret communication methods that can even bypass the internet. You can see that by design, this was designed to be hidden from view by cybersecurity testers, even though they found evidence of little things. The power of this is extraordinary. The intelligence community could build a series of images to search for that could identify subversive behavior of some sort and then be alerted to that. Then they can put such identified people under active surveillance. Apple gets its cake and gets to eat it too. Man, this is just unacceptable to me. If you're an iPhone user, you've been duped. Don't be part of the surveillance infrastructure. I've already said in prior videos, the iPhone is the most sophisticated surveillance device ever made. All those other privacy features, they're made to centralize the data and made to fence third parties from getting access. Yes, they can prevent foreign governments' access to customer data, but they increase the surveillance infrastructure of the state. What do you think of this, Edward Snowden? Folks, I created three products that serve the purpose of reducing your metadata footprint in this surveillance-heavy world. First, we have the Brax 2 privacy phone, which has no Google ID and is thus invisible to Google and obviously Apple. They cannot read the identifiers on the phone like the IMEI, and which you can change yourself. We also have Bytes VPN, which is important for hiding your IP address and encrypting your content. And in our case, also hiding your DNS metadata. Finally, we have the Brax Mail product, which is an email service that removes the metadata from the header. There's never an IP address or anything that will show where the message is coming from. These products are on my app, BraxMe. The link is in the description. Thank you for watching and see you later.